98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Rush Hour Reboot.
Here's where Maloney takes over. She walks in the Auction Community Studios, and she does her best to try to get Rudy to say something opinionated.
Oh, that's not hard. Anyway, so the NFL Combine is going on today in Indianapolis, and Oklahoma receiver CeeDee Lamb said he's already met with the Cardinals and felt a good vibe with the coaching staff. Would you like him to play for the Cardinals?
This is where I do feel totally challenged as a wannabe general manager, because everybody knows how much college football I watch. And that is, when I watch Jerry Jeudy, I think he's better than CeeDee Lamb. But I do really accept and understand the benefit of Cliff Kingsbury runs his offense through the Oklahoma filter. There's lots of the same terminology in order to make sure that your quarterback adjusted. Now a guy who's got chemistry with this receiver can walk into an NFL offense that has Oklahoma terminology. That does seem like a win-win, but I'll still say I like Jerry Jeudy better, and I'll always go with what I see from the player in college versus some of these other sub-things that might not be as important.
Look, the Arizona Cardinals are picking at number 8 for a reason, and so all I'm saying is I think the Arizona Cardinals have a lot of needs, and I think at number 8 they're going to get a good player. In which direction they go, whether it's offensive line, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's defense, I just don't think it matters. I think what the Arizona Cardinals need to do is get the entire organization rolling in the same direction, the scouting department, the personnel staff, the executive team, and the coaching staff, and say, we got to find the best player that can come in here and fit this system and make an impact for us right away. Mm. Whoever they think that is, draft that guy.
Yesterday, Joe Burrow's hand size measured at 9 inches, which is the shortest among first-round quarterbacks since 2008. Rudy, is this a concern?
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow's hand size was at 9 inches. Okay, Patrick Mahomes a couple years ago was 9 inches and 1/4. It doesn't matter. None of this stuff matters. He had no problem throwing the football. He'll be the number one overall pick, and that is what it is. I think more people should be concerned with Joe Burrow with the simple fact that he's really been a one-year wonder, and that's what you should evaluate more.
I don't mind that he's a one-year wonder, because I think it was the first time he got dropped a professional offense on his shoulders versus a lot of other things that he was being asked to do at Ohio State and LSU. They bring in the New Orleans Saints assistant coach, and all of a sudden he's running a pro offense, and look what he does. However, I do think this is important, and you need to love this and deal with it. Joe Burrow, 9-inch hands. I got 3 quarterbacks over this century that have had 9-inch hands to attempt 300 passes. All right? You ready? Jared Goff, Ryan Tannehill, and Chad Henne are the only ones with hands that small that were able to stay around the NFL long enough to actually throw 300 passes in the last 10 years. That's not a good list. There!
I have no comment on
9-inch hands are a problem, but Joe Burrow's so good he'll overcome it.
Ricky, no, he won't, because he'll be on the Cincinnati Bengals and he'll have no chance.
Okay, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
Ricky Rubio led the Suns over the Jazz 131-111 in his return to Utah. He joined Fox Sports Arizona after his 22-point performance.
We came out of the break thinking that the season is not over. We want to win and make a run and try to make a push for the playoff.
One question. Where has Ricky Rubio been?
You can't ask that question because we don't have the answer. That's the problem.
You're supposed to have all of the answers.
I cannot answer the question, where has Ricky Rubio been when you played that well? Why did Utah, who said, you're not as good as Mike Conley, which is true, suddenly create so much passion in you that you could actually stand in passing lanes for the first time this year? 7 steals, diving out of bounds. What was it? I think an 11-1 assist to turnover ratio. Ricky Rubio was fantastic last night. Ricky, where have you been? I don't have the answer. I can ask the question out of frustration, though.
Yeah, look, I don't have the answer either, but there's no question about that. Ricky Rubio played really well last night on all sides, or really in all aspects of the game. I think he had 7 steals. He had like 6 rebounds. I think he had like 5 defensive rebounds, 1 offensive rebound. Obviously put the ball in the bucket. This is the Ricky Rubio that the Phoenix Suns need. Where has this been all year? No idea.
Think about what Rudy just said.
That's why they're at where they're at.
Ricky Rubio was 4 rebounds and 3 steals away from a quadruple double. Ricky Rubio. Yeah. Do it again, Ricky. You play Wednesday night. We've already got the game time written down. Get ready.
D-backs manager Torrey Lovello addressed Madison Bumgarner's rodeo shenanigans yesterday.
Everybody has a life away from the game. Everybody wants to, you know, separate and have some balance. And that's why, for me, it's really, really not a huge issue.
Is it still not a huge issue to you guys?
I love it. I love it.
I don't want the ace of my pitching staff doing that.
I agree with you, Maloney. It's wrong. Okay, there should be no Mason Saunders. When you change your name to do something, you already know you're not doing something you should be doing.
So can
you're
I
changing your name because you know there's going to be people like Aaron Maloney and Doug who tell you that because you're a starting pitcher, you can't do anything else in life but sit at home and put ice and stem on your elbow and do yoga stretches on your off days.
How about the fact that you just made me like some insurance company?
Yeah.
Aaron Maloney,
yeah,
and Doug.
Yeah.
Well, look, the thing is, he shouldn't do it. It's wrong. You're putting yourself in danger by doing rodeo. Yet, it's too funny for me to get mad.
Mason
it really is.
Saunders.
So I DM'd his rodeo partner that won $26,000 with in December.
Oh, yeah?
I like followed him on Instagram, and I DM'd him trying to get a video of this, you know? He looked at it. No response.
Oh.
I got ghosted by Mason Saunders' rodeo partner.
What a good friend. That is a really good friend.
He still posted the picture on Facebook and hashtagged MVP.
That's a really good, that's a friend you need. That's the kind of friend you need.
What I'm the most shocked with is I had no idea that you could swing through Wickenburg for a weekend and make $26,000.
We need to go to Wickenburg.
I know. I mean, I didn't know anybody could do that. That's fantastic. What a good weekend in Wickenburg.
Yeah, I agree. This is great. I think he should just change his name to Mason Saunders full time.
They got to sell jerseys.
Yeah.
They got to sell Saunders jerseys. Coming up next, could the Arizona Cardinals look at one of Kyler Murray's techs and say, okay, we'll draft that guy for you? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Steve Keim, general manager, Arizona Cardinals. Everybody who's everybody in the NFL goes to the NFL Combine, according to Rudy, and I admit I don't know this.
Except for the Los Angeles Rams.
Says the Rams do not go.
This year.
There's another team, too. The Rams and what was the other? There are two teams not going, by the way, that have decided to keep their scouts and everyone at home. You can watch the TV coverage and then watch the taped interviews.
That tells you everything you need to know about what really happens at the NFL Combine.
What really happens at the NFL Combine?
It's the Broncos and the Rams. They're going to have their staffs watch drills on TV and review interviews on films at their team facilities.
A lot of socializing.
This is the question that was asked to Steve Keim by Ron Wolfley during Newsmakers Week 2020. Judy or Lamb?
Both. They're just different.
Good.
You know, they're
good.
Different games. I mean, you watch CeeDee Lamb, and there are some things that come to mind when I watch him that remind me a little bit of DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you talk about a guy that maybe isn't the fastest vertically, but is gritty, tough, runs great routes. And then you got Jerry Jeudy, who is so smooth and accelerates in and out of breaks and is sort of like a Gumby doll. He's got no stiffness. So they're both great players. I think they're going to have exceptional careers.
Before we get into the comment, do you buy the CeeDee Lamb DeAndre Hopkins comparison?
Oh, that's tough because, look, I understand people in the NFL love the comparisons. I got to be honest with you, I'm terrible with comparisons. I just don't see it very well. It's not something that I'm good at. DeAndre Hopkins, to me, is such a good football player. And one of the things DeAndre Hopkins does that's so impressive to me is he can get off man-to-man coverage, he can get off a jam, and most importantly, he can make contested catches. And so I just have a hard time comparing guys doing some things they do in college. I'm watching CeeDee Lamb, a lot of these Hollywood Brown, these guys in college run wide open, 30, 40 yards, nobody around him. But when you watch a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, he's got dudes hanging all over him all the time, making contested catches. And in the NFL, if you can't make contested catches or 50-50 balls, you can't play in the league.
Here's why I bring this up. I'm wondering if Steve Keim's full of crap. Because if you're actually making that comparison as an NFL general manager, and you mean it, Is there anybody else on their draft board? How would you pass up DeAndre Hopkins with the eighth pick? So if you, would you really be telling everybody what you think of C.D. Lamb if you meant it? I have a hard time believing he means it, because that means the draft is over. We already know the first round.
I said it the day that Steve Kime made that comment, we came on air later, and I said, if he is indeed the next DeAndre Hopkins, then here's my card right now. Put me on the clock. I'm running it up there, because DeAndre Hopkins in person, it was a couple of years ago, and Patrick Peterson was actually in his prime and playing really well, and he was really fired up for that game. And I saw DeAndre Hopkins give Pat P headaches like he'd never dealt with before. And to Rudy's point, the routes, the competitive fire, the ability to catch in traffic, that guy is really impressive from the sideline. And if CeeDee Lamb is the next DeAndre Hopkins, put him in a Cardinals uniform right now.
Well, look, let me I've been on this radio station a lot, and I've hammered Steve Kime a lot. I have. And I think to a certain extent that Steve Kime has done some really good things as the general manager. I think that he's missed a ton, and the truth is too, is when you're trying to draft players in the NFL draft, it's a guess, and it's very, very difficult. You don't always know what you're going to get. I think the coaching, some of the coaching hires have been interesting. But with that being said, you know, Steve Kime to me is a smart guy. He's a guy who has a plan. He's a guy who's going to be prepared. He's a guy who's going to spend a lot of time. And I think he's a guy who understands that this is a very, very, very important draft for him. And with that being said, I would literally listen to nothing Steve Kime says from now and the time the draft comes, because I think Steve Kime and this organization has a plan, and they want that plan to be executed, and whatever is said from now until then is a part of that plan.
Well, this is Paul had mentioned earlier in the show, if you weren't listening, that that there's a report that CeeDee Lamb has interviewed with the Cardinals. The reason why you kind of need, granted, this is part of the lies that go on, but this year it's been cut to 45. You only get 45 interviews. So sometimes you won't ask to interview somebody, so nobody knows you're interested in that guy. So you do have to understand that. But CeeDee Lamb, then one of the guys the Cardinals have interviewed. Well, just now, Kyle Odegaard, who covers the Cardinals for azcardinals.com, has tweeted that Jerry Jeudy said he has met with the Arizona Cardinals. So if you're looking at a receiver, and there's a very good chance both of them will be there at number eight, now what do you do? And we asked Steve Kime, all right, does the Oklahoma connection matter? Does Cliff Kingsbury using Oklahoma terminology matter? Does Kyler Murray being an Oklahoma quarterback matter in drafting CeeDee Lamb over somebody else?
Well, from my text stream, you can tell Kyler likes him. But he is, you know, you always would also lean towards guys that you know. Again, I just talked about the inexact science that the draft process is, and the percentage of success rates in the first round. If you know the person, or you have confidence in who they are, through the information you attain, you know, it certainly gives you more confidence.
Rudy, do you have a preference?
No, but what I think Steve Kime said there was really important. And I think what people are starting to come to the realization on more and more and more and more and more is that the wiring matters. And it's not all about your hand size and your height and your weight and your size and your 10-yard split and your 40-yard dash. And I think a lot of these guys are starting to understand that your football IQ and your football intelligence and your self-awareness and your thought process and how you're wired, your professionalism, all of these things matter. In the NFL, to me, the great players are not the ones who are physically gifted. They're the guys who are physically gifted, but who can also process information really quickly and be right. And I think that's the hard thing to find.
Let me bust you, because when you and I talk hardcore football, I'm amazed at how much you know. And yet, where was your NFL career?
I agree. And I could also tell you this. I love Kurt Warner. And to pretend like everybody's story is the same is wrong. And to pretend like the NFL is a meritocracy is wrong. And to pretend like the NFL gives everybody a chance is wrong. In my years in the preseason, I threw 16 touchdown passes and one interception. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
But all I ever heard was, well, it's the preseason and teams are playing base defense and it doesn't really matter. And you don't really have the size. You can't make an entire year. You don't have the arm talent. Okay, but I can come in here and play with the center who I met 2 hours ago and a wide receiver who I met 2 days ago and drive down the field and score and get no reps in practice too and throw 16 touchdown passes and 70% in the preseason amongst many other things. But I'm not a franchise guy, so I understand those things. I can throw for over 10,000 yards in college and 80-something touchdowns and 30-something interceptions, and but not a franchise guy. Like, you can go through all of these things, and you can tell me Brock Osweiler is a franchise guy. So, I like Brock. We were in here the other day together, but he's a franchise guy. The point is that the perception matters so much, and that's because all of these scouts, all of these GMs, all of these coaches care about one thing, and that's their job. And in my view, what I'm trying to get the NFL to understand and the world to understand, Twitter is not real. Stop paying attention to it and trust your process. Whatever your process is, whatever you guys decided as an organization, this is how we're going to judge players. This is how we're going to grade players. This is how we're going to evaluate players. These are the kind of players we're going to draft. I just don't think a lot of teams do that. The Patriots do. Everybody else says, who's the best player on the board? Who's the player that the fan base is going to be happy about? They're going to sell tickets. But we're going to be able to get corporate sponsorships.
I'm only jumping in because I want more of this. But if we're late to Bobby Hurley, then we'll be late to Rob Gronkowski. And if we're late to Rob Gronkowski, the world ends.
One 10-second comment. I talk to a lot of guys that are in the war room for the Cardinals, and when they emerge after that 2-month process, and it might be a week before the draft, they laugh at the mock drafts. They're not tuned in to the mock drafts and social media and any other reporting. They pick it up for the first time, and as entertainment, they go through it. Like, oh, my gosh, this is so wrong. So I'm not sure everybody's as aware of the media reporting as you think.
That's terrible. That's terrible. Name a guy who was a project outside of DK Metcalf, who was a projected first-round pick who didn't go. Now, look, the order, whether Isaiah Simmons is going to be the fifth pick or the eighth pick, who cares? The point is, all these guys who are projected first-round picks, for the most part, will be first-round picks.
And that's, you know what, more on this coming up after Bobby Hurley and Rob Gronkowski next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is the Sun Devil Fast Break with ASU men's head basketball coach Bobby Hurley. The Sun Devil Fast Break is presented by Arizona Ford Dealers.
Bobby Hurley every Tuesday joins the Doug and Wolf Show coming up every Tuesday at 8:30. And right now he's on to talk about the first place Arizona State Sun Devils. I realize you've already moved on, Bobby. You're already focused on the Southern California schools, and no coach lives in the past, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. What's been the best part of the 7-game winning streak?
The best part, I think, probably just where we had to come from and kind of dig ourselves out of a bit of a hole early in Pac-12. And, you know, a lot of that had to do with obviously the schedule and the difficulty of it initially, but just proud of the resiliency of the team. And just, you know, we've gotten more guys contributing. We're getting better as the year's going on, which is always a plus. And then we're, you know, we're winning and closing out, you know, close games. The majority of these games that we've been in on the streak have been close. And, you know, we've relied on our defense. We've relied on a free throw shooting, and we've relied on clutch shot making from multiple guys. So it's been, you know, a great run for us.
All right, Coach Hurley, hang in there with me for a second so I can get this question out, but I think it's an important one. We've been talking on the radio today about the NFL draft and about these prospects and guys getting drafted and height, weight, size, and speed and intangibles and all of those things, and I think they're important. I'm sure you guys do too when you're recruiting at Arizona State for basketball. But at the end of the day, I've been watching a guy like Remy Martin all year play really, really well, a guy who doesn't have any of those. When you're recruiting guys or you're drafting guys in the NFL or in the NBA or whatever it may be, how important is how a guy is wired? How important is his IQ? How important is his basketball intelligence? And how hard is it to be able to find those guys?
Yeah, I think it's even, you know, as in football, you would want your quarterback to have tremendous leadership qualities. You want to have at the point guard position in basketball the type of guy that people want to rally around and play with because they respect that guy. And, you know, Remy Martin has certainly earned his teammates' respect, the trust. You know, he's delivered in the key moments. You kind of – it's always hard maybe to identify that when you're recruiting a player like Remy Martin. But you just – I noticed the passion that he played with, you know, as a younger player and how hard he played at both ends of the court. And you know, that's what you're looking for on the guy at that position. You need, you know, that guy needs to be a tough guy, that once again, that – their teammates respect and want to follow, and we have one of those guys in Remy Martin.
He needs to be a dog.
Oh,
a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that simplifies it.
Yeah. We're talking to Bobby Hurley. Bobby, how, kind of following along Rudy's question, how do you measure heart?
Well, I mean, you get to know, you know, the guy. You talk about the game. You try and watch it when you see, you know, when you're out on the road watching these games. You try and see if you could find some extra intangibles. You see how they interact with their teammates on the court. You know, do they play unselfish? Do you get a sense that they love to play? And that's was immediate. It was instant with Remy. I could just tell that he loved the game. And you know, he's not the type of player that, you know, thinks he's humble enough to know he wants to keep getting better. And he's done so every year. He's been, you know, a great example of a guy that's really developed, and, you know, he's worked on his game and he's improved every year. And he wasn't a five-star recruit. He's passed a lot of people by, you know, in his career because of his work ethic and his love to play.
Tell me about this last game, because you have the amazing 22-point comeback against U of A, and I'm sure even though you're on a winning streak, you're still frustrated about the next game against Washington State. And then you have the amazing, great performance against Oregon. And in years past, not you, I mean the entire history of ASU basketball, there always seems to be that one big step forward, everybody gets excited, and then there's a step backwards. How were you able, when it started to slip away against Oregon State, how were the guys able to get that win and stay focused and not get into the "oh, woe is us"?
Well, we tried to remind the guys at halftime that we probably played, you know, outplayed them for 17 and a half minutes, and, you know, we had a really bad 2.5 minutes to finish the half, and that's not, you know, what we've been. You know, we've usually, you know, finished halves and games better, especially over the last 6 weeks. But we got a little bit selfish. We kind of over dribbled a few times, and, you know, defensively, we lost a couple of their shooters. So we just had to make some adjustments and realize, you know, it's still a one possession game at half, and we've come from behind before. So it's not something we're not used to doing. And, you know, the guys understood what was on the line. You know, we didn't hide that from them. We told them, you know, hey, you know, we had a great win, emotional win. You know, how much maturity do we have as a team? Can we respond, you know, 48 hours later with so much on the line and an opportunity to possibly be in first place in the conference. So, but we stepped up, made the plays we need. I thought Oregon State played outstanding. You know, they have two of the better players in the conference at their positions, and Tinkle and Thompson, and those guys, you know, had their A game, and, you know, they desperately wanted to win, and we found a way.
We don't have a lot of time with you, Coach, but before you got to get off, do you have any Kobe Bryant stories you want to fill us in on this morning?
I mean, I shared one with Doug already a while back initially when everything happened. It's just so, again, so sad. I peeked at some videos, you know, online yesterday, and just to see Kobe's wife talk about her daughter and Kobe, it was so sad, you know, so powerful in a way, but really, you know, as a dad that has daughters, it was just really, really hard to watch. Very, very emotional watching that. So it's a tough thing all the way around.
Boy, I'm so with you, Bobby. When I see pictures of Kobe, I'm thinking, man, that's sad. I can't imagine what he would have been post-career. When I see pictures of him and Gigi, I just got to turn away. Yeah. I'm not emotionally strong enough to keep looking at it when I see the two of them together. So I'm with you. Hey, good luck on Thursday. Get it done.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Bobby. There's Bobby Hurley, head coach, Arizona State. They take on, their next game is against UCLA, and that game tips off at 9 o'clock, and Kyle and Tim will have your play-by-play right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, Rob Gronkowski is bringing something revolutionary to the Sun Devils? A U of A guy? We're talking to Gronk next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, I got to tell you that it was going to work out either way. And that is, this is supposed to be an interview with Rob Gronkowski on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. talking to Ron Wolfley because they both have the Bill Belichick connection, with Wolf being with the Browns. But, Rob, Wolf is off, and I got to tell you, it's still just as thrilling to have you because we got U of A and ASU with Rudy Carpenter here. And I don't know if you guys want to tell any pool stories or anything that, going way back, but it's good to have you. How's your life?
I'm doing good, man. Just out in Foxborough right now. I was just cleaning the house. I'm actually here with my roommate. The guy knows how to put in air conditioning units and heat units like no other. So I was actually, now that I'm retired, I actually go around with him and I install air conditioning units with him and heating units because I got nothing else to do and I need to learn other things. But this guy, my roommate, is a master at it. So I'm learning new crafts, putting air conditions in the places because I was heating up the last 10 years in the league. So now I got to cool down a little bit.
Well, that, you know, that that's great. The U of A guy ends up being in charge of air conditioners. I'm proud of you on that, and I endorse an air conditioning company here, so I'm happy with it. First of all, why would a U of A guy bring a great and exciting event to Arizona State? I figured you'd never touch ASU.
All right, you know, I agree. We're kind of just using Arizona State for the weekend. They were my rival. You know, I could be friends with them for a weekend. We need to use their stadium, so we got to be friends with them for the weekend. I'm just messing around, man. It's just a great location, man. I love the area around Phoenix. I love the area in Scottsdale. I've been there many times. I love U of A. I love the Wildcats and all. And I actually do need to make a visit down to Tucson soon. But the location with Arizona State being right there with Phoenix around, the stadium just works out perfect, man. So we can't actually thank Arizona State enough for letting us use their stadium, man. I mean, if this was during my playing time at U of A, I would say there's no way. But because that rival is just too legendary. I mean, too heated up. But, you know, it's been a while, and the location is just great, and we can be friends for the weekend.
If you, we'll give you more info coming up in a little bit, but he's talking about, you can go to the website stadiumblitz.com to learn more info about Hydro Stadium Blitz, in which it goes, I mean, you're talking about some legendary stadiums. They're going to Ohio State. They're going to the Rose Bowl. They're going around the country with this amazing obstacle course challenge in which you actually choose which obstacles you're going to go against while you do the course. So you make the course as hard as you want it to go.
Rob, yeah, man. It's a 5K obstacle throughout the whole stadium. And then there's 5K race throughout the whole stadium. You're going up the stairs, down the stairs. It gets tough. But then on top of it, there's 15 obstacles. And throughout the whole race, I would say there's an obstacle about every half mile to a mile. And then maybe there's three in a row, or there's just one obstacle. But it makes it more challenging. It makes it more tough. And it's a lot of fun. It's for kids from ages 7 and up. You can have your whole family there. You can have a competition. It's friendly and all that type of stuff. So it's a blast. It's getting me in shape. It's getting my cardio. You should have seen me on my first one. I tried running a mile because I've been running like sprints. You know, football is routes, you know, quick bursts. And I tried to do my first one. I was hurting, but I'm improving. And my brother is legendary at it. He got first place, and I was only 3 seconds behind him. So I've been improving big time, and I'm ready to take him down, but I may let him keep winning just so he can feel good.
Rob, I want to talk a little bit of football. We talked about some ASU and U of A stuff. Obviously, you know, during my time at ASU, I had a lot of fun playing football there, a lot of great memories, you know, just really important for me in my life and playing in the NFL too. But when I watched you play in college and when I watched you play in the NFL, the thing that I respected the most was just I felt like you had so much passion for playing the game. I felt like you loved playing the game, and I felt like you used football the way that everybody should use football, which is to live out a dream, play, make a lot of money, and live a good life. How did you come to that mindset?
I just always loved to play the game of football, especially in high school. Just watching my older brother play, I just always knew I wanted to play the game, and then seeing them go through the recruiting process, I just knew that I wanted to take it to the next level, to the college, and that's how I got to Arizona. But just overall, man, it's been like that since high school. Just love playing the game, just love the hits, love the contact, and just always had that passion for the game of football. So it's not like it ever just like in college or in the NFL, it just clicked. I mean, I've been playing like that since I was in high school and just kept it throughout the whole time.
What was your best U of A football memory?
Oh, man, U of A football memory. I would say when we won the Las Vegas Bowl. I mean, we didn't go to a bowl game for 10 years, University of Arizona. And we went to the Vegas Bowl as my sophomore year. My brother was on the team. And we went and won the bowl game. And just wanting to go and be able to go to the bowl game and win it is a big accomplishment, especially when U of A wasn't there for 10 years. And then also on top of it, our battles, man. You know, the Arizona State games, U of A games, man, that's a battle throughout the state. And we've been a part of them.
What was your favorite one? What was your favorite one?
All right. Well, my first year I lost. So that, you know, it was that one. Was, you know, what that one's axed out my favorite. And then my sophomore year, the year we won the Holiday Bowl, we actually won it at. So I would say that's the one, man. That's my favorite one. Or I'm getting confused. What was it? My sophomore year I played. It's been so long now. But we beat you guys one year. My freshman year, I think we lost my freshman year. Sophomore year, we beat you guys. But, dude, I remember the rival was just crazy, man. The fans, like, picked it up times 20 every time we played each other.
I'll give you a quick story with a name you know, Rob. Remember the name Donnie Salem?
Oh, Donnie Sal, man. He's a legend.
All right, I'm going to tell you.
Out of control.
I'm going to tell you a quick story. In 2007, we beat you guys up at ASU. It was a big game, national televised game. It was a fun one. I went after Antoine Kaysen a little bit prior to the game. I loved it. I loved Antoine. He's a good dude. Knew him in high school. I loved to talk. I thought it was fun. The next year, we came down to Tucson. You guys beat us. And you guys, the entire Zona Zoo rushed the field. I thought I was going to die because they were all running right at me. All of a sudden, I look up and a U of A booster who actually tried to get me to go to U of A, he's got me in a bear hug. He's like, I got you. And he walks me to the locker room and saves me. From that point forward, Donnie Salem is my guy, and he loves Rob Gronkowski more than anybody. So thank you, Donnie Salem.
Yeah. Dude, that was the best story you could have told. Yes. I remember that, dude. And Donnie always talked about you, too, because he wanted you to go to U of A so bad.
Donnie Salem was at the Mission Palms Hotel in Tempe in his car when I was on my ASU recruiting trip, begging me not
wow,
to finish
stop
the trip.
Yeah. That's fantastic. We got Rudy
dude,
Carpenter live in the Octane Community Studios talking to Rob Gronkowski and having like memory time between the two of you. Rob, Gronk, you can imagine all of Arizona fans, and I don't mean Wildcats this time, they have one question, and that is Kyler Murray could really use a tight end. Are you sure you're done? Give us one year.
1 year in Arizona, man. That would be pretty legendary. Here's a story. I remember they had – I'm pretty sure it was the 26th pick in the NFL draft that year. And Arizona was on my list of top five teams I wanted to go to. I love being in the state of Arizona. They were literally, Tucson to Phoenix is, an hour and 45 minutes to play for the Cardinals. And they had the 26th pick. I'm pretty sure it was the 26th pick. And I was praying that they would take me because I wanted to go there. It was one of my top five teams I would love to have landed at. And I felt like they needed a tight end. And they brought me in for a little visit. And I was praying that they would take me at the 26th pick. And they never took me. I remember, dude. It was, I remember. They said bye-bye. I remember I took a visit there and everything. I could tell they had no interest in me. So even when I took the visit, though, I was just hoping with that 26th pick they would take me. But I could tell the people that brought me in, they were just bringing me in to bring me in. They gave no cares about me.
So are you holding that against us so you won't come back and play 1 year because of what happened?
No,
when were you drafted, 2010?
I'm not holding against
you. Okay, good.
Those guys have probably been cleaned house a while ago because this was 10 years ago. So I forgot the name, forgot who it was that they were recruiting me in. But no, house is cleared, man. And, I forgive them. So maybe one day in the future I'll be a Cardinal. We'll see.
We got a maybe. That's the extent we could get.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
I know that you got to be sick of this question, but I'm dying to know, too, because one of Brady's best friends is a diehard listener to our show, and he comes on the show all the time here on Doug and Wolf, and that's Jay Feely, and he won't even answer the question. So I'm going to ask you, where will Tom Brady play next year?
Oh, man, I think the XFL. He's going to surprise us all.
Him and Andrew Luck are going to be in the XFL next year, no doubt.
XFL, and then then, you know, they're going to be able to make their names again, and he's going to have, like, he hate me on back of the name.
That's enough.
On back of his name.
Oh, that's the best answer that you could possibly give. Give us, I want to make sure we got your brother on the phone, too, as Glenn Gronkowski is on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Glenn, give us a big rundown of what's going on at Sun Devil Stadium and how people can get involved, because this does sound like a much different event, a really cool event, because if you can do it with your whole family and yet you choose how hard you want the obstacle course to be, that's a pretty legendary idea.
Yeah, absolutely. You can get involved. We have a promo code right now, Gronk40, for 40% off for anybody that wants to go on and get registered right now. It's going to be an absolute blast. We're all going to be there running the race, the whole entire family. It's going to be a lot of fun, just messing around, having a good time. Like we said, it's a 5K obstacle course race. You get to come out with your family, choose how hard you want to go. You can just have a good time, get to experience being on the field like some of your favorite athletes, get to go through the locker rooms, get to run up the tunnel, get to go through the whole stadium. I think we're actually even going through, I believe the stadium is in some type of rocks or something, and we're actually running the race up through the rocks as well.
Oh, yeah, we have the buttes on each side of the stadium. So
it's not just some rocks. It's not just some rocks. This is the butte in between our very nice stadium.
Look at you defend ASU.
I just want to know where the after party is. Just let me know. Shoot me a message. Figure it out. I need to be with this after party.
We do have an after party. It's actually at the stadium. I guess there's a club there as well. So we'll be having – once you finish, you get to come party with us as well right at the stadium, and it's going to be a blast. So it's going to be a fun time for everyone.
What I love about your website at stadiumblitz.com, and I don't know, Rob, if this was you, but to actually have the start times that stagger, to have all of this information on an agenda, and to put the post-race party as an equally important part of every other aspect of the race, that is about as Gronk as it possibly gets.
Yeah, for sure. You put the work in. You got to definitely party afterwards. So you work hard, you play hard, and then you party hard afterwards as well. So
I'm with
of course
that.
The after party is just as important as everything else.
Okay, last question. Give us the date. What date are you at Sun Devil Stadium?
It is this Saturday.
This Saturday,
29th, I believe. 29th. The race is from about 5 to 9 p.m. and then after party right afterwards.
Okay, so
Glenn, he works for Stadium Blitz, and he doesn't even know the date. It's the 29th at Arizona State Stadium. It's from 5 to 9, and there's an after party in the stadium. How many times do I have to tell you, Glenn?
Well done, Gronk. Well done. Guys, we enjoyed it. Come back on next time you have a race. We'd love to help you.
No, thanks
awesome, guys. For having us.
Absolutely.
See you there, Rudy.
All right, man.
There's Rob and Glenn Gronkowski joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Your family owns and operates a dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Well, he didn't talk about some of your other legendary get-togethers, but football-wise, it was good.
Yeah, look, they've been talking about this a little bit. There's a little story. Me and a couple of my friends went to Las Vegas. Do I have time to say a little bit of the story?
No, but
you have time. Sorry,
but you do next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.